Welcome everybody to episode 19 of Ours is the Fury. Guys, we tied.
It's good.
Felt like a win. I mean, the game, the goal came at the end of the game, so...
The goal?
Yeah, we'll discuss that later. It's a goal, okay? It's all that matters.
We have one more point than we had last week.
Yay!
We're not tied for last anymore?
Yeah, we got one more point above the last place team.
Oh, in the combined table, okay, that's good.
We don't look at the falls tables anymore.
We don't, yeah.
We don't need to do that.
But, yeah, it was pretty good to the home match atmosphere-wise. Like, it's the biggest group that Stony Monday Ride has probably brought out in months, weeks. And the Bytown boys are fully present as usual, doing a great job.
And I heard overall attendance was over 5,000 people.
Yeah, 5,200.
Yeah.
Which I think is our biggest one, not including the home opener against the Cosmos and the Rangers game.
Yeah, so that's
so
good.
Yeah.
Things are looking up.
And they had people on both sides of the stadium, which was interesting.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I heard rumors that there might be another rambunctious crowd, more rowdy sort of fans brewing on the other side of the stadium.
Really?
You guys didn't hear anything.
I heard that there's a group on the east, on the other side from where we are, that's being rowdy and singing.
Good.
That's awesome.
That's
so
good to hear.
Maybe we can grow organically and meet in the middle. Yeah, so let's get right into the game. As usual, we should start with our lineup. I mean, the biggest surprise was Ryan Richter on the field. What was up with that? I thought he'd gone back to Toronto.
Yeah, I don't know how he came back. How did they get him back?
I guess Toronto just didn't need him anymore, or he wasn't getting playing time, so they sent him up.
No, I'm actually uninformed still. Like, my understanding is that he had gone back to Toronto, but Dos Santos just sort of asked, like, do you mind if we just have him for one more game? We're like in big injury trouble. And like, that's my understanding, that now he's gone.
Okay. Yeah, I had heard he was gone for a minimum of at least 3 games, so I was a little surprised to see him. But if he wasn't getting any playing time at TFC, then it's a short 4-hour drive.
Yeah, it depends how fast you're driving. Yeah.
Oh, he probably took a plane, let's be honest.
Well, he was on Porter, for sure.
I don't know, he has an NASL wage or an MLS wage?
I think he has MLS wage, so
okay.
He took
Porter. Yeah, so he started on the right. Kendra, go ahead.
Oh, I was just really happy to see Jeroen back in the lineup. That
yes.
was really a happy thing for me.
I think that was the difference for us, actually, on the back line, was having Jeroen back. Like, he was out of position a lot. He was all over the field, but, like, the physical presence and he kind of commanded that back line. It was really good to see him back.
Absolutely. And then Trafford was the other central back, as usual. Left back, Soria.
Mm-hmm.
Who's pretty much now become a regular left back. No surprises there. He's sort of...
He had a really strong game. I remember him winning the ball in the air a lot of times. He was very, very solid back there.
Yeah, he's very aggressive. Like, he actually challenges for the ball,
mm-hmm.
like, very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Love watching him play.
Yeah, for sure. And then Richie Ryan in his usual defending midfielder position.
Which he had a pretty solid game, I thought, too. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought he was, had a little bit more energy than he usually does and kind of was going after more balls than he usually would, and I thought he was quite positive.
I mean, to be honest, like, I thought the first half, everything was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked really good. They were moving the ball around well, and even the way that they scored the first goal, they had so much confidence, right? They passed the ball in, basically. Like, I was freaking out when I remember, like, being like, just shoot it! Ah! And then they just like calmly pass it around and Heinemann taps it in.
Yeah, it was three passes in the box.
Yeah, okay. it was amazing.
Last time that happened.
Yeah, so thank you.
Everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah, thank you, Carolina, for letting us have those three passes in the box. It's about time you returned the favor.
That's right. Patterson started as a right winger, which now makes it possible to have Ubi, Richie Ryan, and Donatelli, and Patterson on the pitch at the same time, right? So we don't...
It's like an all-star team for the future. Like a true starting 11.
And unfortunately, Howarth had an ankle injury, I believe, so he couldn't start his left wing. And so we had Maillard.
Yeah, nothing official about how long that ankle injury is. It's just people that went to training noticed he wasn't in training, and they just asked, and yeah, so we have Howarth is out, but we don't know how long.
So Maillard, like, ran up and down the wing a lot and, like, worked really hard, but he was kind of... didn't look that good out there. I thought like he was like out of position a lot and just sort of wasting many runs, which was maybe a little sad. I was hoping he would have more of an impact.
He looked a little bit lost. I think was this the first time he started?
No, he started other games. He
wasn't. I don't know. I think it could be the first time that he started actually. Oh. Boxsmith.
I don't recall him starting.
Yeah, same. So probably
it's possible, but. I don't, yeah, he's always been kind of a sub, or not playing at all.
And no Philip Davies this time, eh, in the starting lineup.
Well, he was suspended.
Oh, that's right, he got a second yellow, yeah. That's why, okay, that explains it. That's why we're a conversational podcast.
Yeah. So who do you thought looked good for Carolina? Anyone stood out?
Barrera was pretty good, like he had the ball a lot, he pissed me off, I always tried to... swear at him in Spanish.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of Spanish going on in Section W.
Yeah, we tried.
And Greek. I noticed there's some Greek too.
I don't know why, because there's no Greek players on the pitch, but whatever works.
Yeah.
I thought Kara Fitzgerald, the keeper, had a really good game. You can't really blame any of the goals on him.
Yeah, Cipollani got a goal for them, and he's been like their difference maker all year. They could get more players like that. I think they'd do. They'd be on the way up the table instead of on the way down the table. But he's really their standout player.
The Carolina had a pretty good game. I mean, I think they held possession for the most part against us. And we're able to score those two, back to back goals on us. And
yeah, Blocksmith, do you want to break down how each of those goals occurred?
The first goal was. It's kind of a breakdown in the box, and Jackson kind of put it over. He kind of fell to him, and he kind of was able to put it over Pizer into the side netting. And then 3 minutes later, shot from Martinez, and he just kind of hit it off. I think it was Trafford. I think he kicked it, and Trafford kind of got in the way, but he kind of deflected into the net.
Right. So, like, I thought the first goal that we conceded was kind of just bad luck. Like, Barrera just sort of shot it, and, that kind of goal only goes in 1 out of 100 times. He just connected with it in such a way that he probably didn't even intend to do. And, but then the second goal, I thought, was sort of a defensive lapse, probably due to everyone being upset that we just got scored on. Like, I just thought that there was a kind of lost concentration in the defense.
Yeah, it was kind of deflating 3 minutes, but, I mean, they fought back.
Yeah, I mean, we really have to be proud of the team that they don't ever give up and how strongly they try to equalize. And that felt pretty damn good when they scored there at the end.
Yeah, well, that felt really good because remember the header that hit the goalpost?
Yeah, Heinemann's header against the post.
And but we had one too where we were very lucky, hit our post and went out.
Yeah.
In the first half.
Oh yeah, that one where it was like slowly bouncing and like, so I can't remember who was defending at that time, but it was just like whoa, boom, yeah.
We were cheering for the goalpost, like yeah,
post. Yeah, it was. So a lot of chances for both teams. A very exciting game. Probably the most entertaining game. Probably the most fun game I've had at TD Place. like good crowd, good energy.
Beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a good game to bring someone who hasn't seen a Fury game yet, and there were quite a few new faces in the supporter section, so hopefully this will convince them to go back. I mean, but let's be honest, 3 points would have been deserved and would have been great, because we could, you know, have surpassed Carolina by the next match day if we had won, and now we're still, like, way back there.
Right.
In the fall table.
Oh, yeah. Table, like, we're not... Every game now is just building character and helping build the team, right? Like, playoffs. But I love the fact that they're going for it. I love the fact that they're trying and they're playing their hearts out. It's awesome to see. This team has character. And you don't see that too much with Canadian franchises right now in either league. So it's really good to see that character.
Absolutely. And Blocksmith, you wanted to mention Tommy Heinemann, right? And
yeah, starting. You know, he did hit the post. He did score the goal, but I'm kind of, you know, worried that he's like the first name on the sheet every game instead of Doncic. I think Doncic is a better option. I mean, the 3 goals he scored, one was a breakaway, one was a tap in yesterday, and one was a penalty. And why do you throw Doncic on one game? Just throw him on, see how it is. I think Doncic is better on the ball. I think he creates a lot more opportunities himself.
Yeah, I'm not defending Heinemann at all, but is it he's always in the right spot at the right time to get those 3 goals? Or is it because he's not doing it himself, right? He's like, he's not winning the balls in the air. He's always getting beat up, even though he's a big guy.
But I wouldn't change Heinemann right now because he's scoring. When the striker is scoring, you just don't want to change anything. Exactly. And is it just me, or did Dantas get a little bit fat?
I think it's just you. Why don't you ask him that in person?
Hey, gordito!
In defense of Dantas, every time he comes on, he seems to bring an intensified energy. So, it would be kind of cool to see him start and see how, like, his energy remains throughout the game and see if that would make a difference. But,
I love his aggressiveness. I know I always say that about all the players I love, but Dantas is probably replacing some of my other favorites. Like, he's one of my top players on this team just because his energy.
Just for the record, I mean, I love Dantas too. I mean, my cheeky comment about him being a little bit bigger is just, I think he has gotten bigger. I don't know if it's fatter, if he just got more muscular.
It's probably muscle.
And yeah, he did come on, right, for Patterson, I believe.
Yeah, that was the early change, right?
Right. So we played with 2 strikers to try and get the goal back there.
And we saw Eustachio.
Yeah, which was kind of a strange substitution. Like, can anyone make sense of that? Was he came on for Omar Giroud or Ryan? Richie Ryan?
I think it's
Giroud.
Was it Giroud?
Giroud, yes.
They have the minutes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to see him.
Maybe Giroud wasn't fully fit yet, and they just needed to replace central back for a central back.
I think that's possible. Needed the offensive, just throw everybody up.
Yeah, but normally you want to keep Omar Giroud on the pitch for those long balls, right? He scored a few goals and created some danger in the past, so I was just confused by that substitution.
Do you remember the time where Giroud's like doing headers in the he's being an offensive player, and then Heinemann's like doing, he did like 2 great defensive moves in our own box.
Yeah, that's what I should have mentioned that earlier. The way that Heinemann came back and really defended.
Yeah.
I love seeing that in strikers.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, so he is definitely working hard out there. So sorry, Blocksmith. We're not going to take Heinemann out of the lineup.
We'll put him in as a defender. If,
And then we'll put Giroud as central forward.
Which we have done before.
Yes.
And then Oliver came in the 79th minute, I believe, for Richie Ryan. And, of course, he ended up scoring the goal for us, which almost our keeper Pizer scored, right? And I know there were some people around who actually thought the keeper had scored and had, like, freaked out even more just because it's so glorious when the keeper scores, right?
Yeah, but they gave it to Oliver, right? Was that the goal you bruised my ribs on, or...?
Possibly. Well, I felt pretty damn happy. I had to hug someone to death.
Pretty good game overall. I think, what did Dos Santos say after the game about the goal that almost went, you know, like the goal that may have not have been a goal. Does anyone remember?
Oh, he said he didn't really see it, but he said he trusted the refs to call it properly. But then he also said, if it wasn't a goal, we should have had one in Minnesota, so it would have equalized out anyway, so, or something to that effect. So.
Yeah, it's always funny when coaches rationalize justice in football, right? Because the game is just not fair, right? Like, but anyway, I'm glad it was scored a goal, and frankly, I don't care whether or not it was a goal. I'm just glad that it counted.
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty much right on the goal line at the game. And I even went back and watched the replays, the slow-mo replays of it. And if anyone can tell me it was definitely in or definitely out, you're lying, because you cannot tell at all.
Can't tell. Level.
But the linesman on the other side was right on that line when he called it.
Hmm.
So we'll give the benefit of the doubt to the linesman. Say it's a goal.
Thank you, linesman.
Oh, the ref wasn't very good, right?
Well, I think he forgot his cards.
No, but then he, like, was handing out cards. Like, Pizer got a card. How did Pizer get a card?
I have no idea.
Well, yeah, he handed out a bunch of cards in the 90th, right after the goal was scored. And Pizer got a card in the 64th. I have no idea what
I don't know what
well,
it was
right after the goal.
Oh.
He probably just complained that it was offside or something.
Yeah, he probably complained to the ref from Zoom.
Well, that's how you get a card from this ref.
And those other two yellows for Carolina, they were probably just bitching because they just got scored on.
Well, they went all over the referee. And even after the game, they were all over the referee. And then they didn't leave the field. They're pretty upset. I'd be interested in seeing some of the official like interviews and stuff from the Railhawks about this game.
Carolina
side of things.
Carolina coach came out and he's pulling players off the ref. And the, you know, the TD guard, security had to come out.
That's pretty frightening.
Stare them down, I guess. I don't
know. It's kind of funny when the DD security faces up against those athletes, right? Yeah. It's like, what are they going to do?
Yeah. Well, like I said, good game overall, 2-2. Mm-hmm. I don't know, is there anything else to say about it?
No, but we should talk about the another beautiful interview that Kendra did, this time with Mason Trafford, and I believe we have a little bit of sound with Trafford as well, Kendra?
We do, yeah. I got to talk with Mason Trafford over the phone this week, and we talked about many things, which is great. He tells great stories. So I sort of pieced together a few of the best ones, and so what you're going to hear is him talking about how he got called up to the national team. And then how he decided to come to Ottawa, and then also playing with Martin Nash, and then having him as a coach, because Trafford actually played on the Whitecaps with Martin, and so I asked him about like playing with him versus having him as a coach, and so that's what you'll hear. I kind of want to talk about your call up to the national team. Can you describe that experience for me?
Yeah, so that was right after I finished the season in Finland in November, and then I was back in Canada. I think it was actually on Christmas Eve. I was over at a buddy's house, or Christmas Eve. It was a day right around Christmas, and yeah, we had a really. I had a good season in Finland. The team had done really well, qualified for the Europa League qualifiers, and finished fourth, and all these things. So I had a good season, and I just got a call from my agent. It was basically like, guess what? Merry Christmas! Well, I've just got off the phone with the team manager of the national team, and they're calling you into the camp from the 20th to the 30th of January.
That's the best Christmas
again,
ever.
What's that?
I said that's the best Christmas present ever.
Oh, yeah. I remember being at my buddy's house, and I walked downstairs after taking the phone call, and like, his whole family was sitting there. He's like my best friend, like grew up with him, and I was like, just got an interesting phone call. I just being called into the national team. So that was obviously like pretty surreal moment for me, and yeah, it was unbelievable. It was, you know, I have a bit of, I wouldn't say regret, Jets, but it was a tough situation for me in the national team at the time. Like I said, I finished, I think, my last game on, like, mm-hmm. November 1st, mm-hmm. and that national team camp wasn't until January 20th, so you can kind of imagine that it wasn't the easiest camp to go to, right? It was basically having all November, all December, and pretty much all January off,
yeah.
and then trying to go and play with, you know, and play at maybe the highest level I've ever played at,
yeah,
with
exactly.
your national team. So it was like, it was difficult, you know. It was almost like I would love still to have the chance to get called back in,
mm-hmm.
you know, like now when I'm like mid-season with my club, you know, sharp and fit. But, you know, anyways, it was a really cool experience, and I ended up getting a cap there against Denmark, and, you know, something obviously I'll never forget, and something that I'll, you know, be able to talk about the rest of my life, hopefully, because it's obviously a huge honor to just pull on that jersey.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope to get another chance with a little bit better circumstances, and we'll see if that happens. But, you know, the one time I did go, I was, pretty thrilled about it, and we'll see what happens going forward.
Very cool. What led to your decision to return to Canada and play for Ottawa?
Yeah, it was, I was pretty open after China, actually. I was open to a lot of different things, and I was just looking for the best, you know, situation for me and my girlfriend. We've been together now for coming on 5 years, so any decision I was looking to make was going to involve, you know, what was best for the both of us, both
yeah.
for, you know, life purposes and as and for my career,
of course,
and
yeah.
for what she wanted to do, and mm-hmm. and the Ottawa thing had kind of been brewing a little bit for a while. It was kind of like on the back burner, though, I would say, and again, for whatever reason, it just kind of heated up a little bit. I guess Mark maybe needed another center back, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, he wasn't 100% sure about me. It had been a lot of years since he had seen me with Vancouver, and at the
yeah.
time, I wasn't even playing center back consistently, and even for Nash, I used to play with him in Vancouver. I was, you know, not really a full center back, so it, you know, it went back and forth for a little while, and eventually we kind of decided, okay, let's, you know, give this a shot. Like, I was in Vancouver at the time, and I was getting that itch back to start playing again, and, you know, we worked something out between Mark, my agent, and I, that we were going to kind of give it a little, you know, I think we signed that 3-month kind of contract to start,
mm-hmm.
and to see if it was going to work for everybody involved.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest is history. Like we've all seen now, I've played all the games and stuff, luckily
mm-hmm.
enough for me, and that led to another contract being offered, and then now I feel right at home here in Ottawa, and it's, you know, couldn't be happier with my decision. It's just been amazing so far, and everything from, you know, the fans and the stadium and the coaches and the team, everything, it's been a ton of fun to be here, and it's been great to be back in Canada, and I couldn't be happier living in Ottawa. It's been so good so far, and yeah, I'm really happy it's all worked out.
What's it like now playing, like, with Martin Nash as your assistant coach? How is that different?
Yeah, it was funny, actually, because Martin was obviously one of the best players in the league at that time. He'd done a ton in the game and accomplished a lot. That first year, I had basically gone from, you know, playing college soccer to completely out of nowhere signing for the team, and then we ended up winning the championship that year, so it was pretty crazy. And Martin was obviously a massive player for the team, and kind of like the talisman of the Vancouver Whitecaps, to be honest. He,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody knew Martin Nash.
Yeah.
And even that, we were playing against Mark at the time too. Like, funny enough, Mark DeSantos was the coach at Montreal. I can
oh,
remember
really?
Playing against him. So we've had a few laughs about that, the three of us, now that we're all kind of here at Ottawa Fury together. And it's good. I mean, you know, anytime like I said, Martin was the captain of the team. So anytime you're a captain, you have the necessary leadership skills, I think, which translate over to a coaching role. And, you know, him and Mark make a really good team together. Mark is, you know, they're both very knowledgeable, and they kind of complement each other well. Nash has a lot of playing experience, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's cool for us players to kind of be able to take things things from him and learn from him. And it's been really good so far. The coaching staff right now is phenomenal. I couldn't give them high enough marks right now.
All right, so welcome back to our show, and I just want to again thank Mason Treffer for taking the time to talk with me. It was really fun to speak with him, and he was really great about answering all my questions. So thank you again, Mason.
And go ahead. Yeah, thank you, Kendra, for continuing to do these interviews. They're really great. We should talk about it a little. I mean, he seems like a really stellar guy. Like, not only does he have a very interesting history, like having played in China and other places abroad in Scandinavia, I think he was as well at some
Finland,
point.
Finland, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I found the national team stuff really interesting, that he was a part of that big game in January, I think January 2013, where Miller, he capped five or six young guys. Kyle Becker, Philip Davies was actually capped that game as well. And it was against Denmark, and it was all our young guys with like Dero, probably Ledgerwood, if I remember right. But we lost 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a really good Danish team, like one of the best Danish teams. And our guys were like out there, and it was like post 8-1.
They probably had to play against Bentner, right? And he's unstoppable.
Yeah. But yeah, it was. And so it's great to hear that he was excited for the national team and all that. And hopefully he gets capped again because he's still a young player. And he's been good for us.
Yeah, it's a great story here, and it was around Christmas time that he heard.
That's it, yeah. Blocksmith really likes Christmas. It's his favorite time of year.
I was telling John on the way over, it's the greatest time.
It is the greatest time.
And after New Year's, you're like, oh crap, 3 or 4 months of winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a big break when the NASL is finished in November.
Yeah, no, but going back to Trafford though, like he's a North fanboy if I remember correctly, and like imagine what it's like to like play for your hometown team, and you know, and then your hometown team goes to MLS, and then you're all over the world like Finland, China, and then you come back to Canada. I don't know. I think it's just a great story, and I hope he gets to play the rest of his career in North America. And I'd like to see him in Ottawa as long as possible.
Yeah, he's definitely been one of the better players for the Fury so far. I think has he still missed any time?
I think he's our Iron Man, right?
He's played every game, all minutes.
Every minute?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's something.
Has he been subbed off?
No, never.
I can't recall. So he's really...
Namu is going to correct us if he did.
Yeah, Namu, if you could let us know. yeah, but we believe he's played every minute. So there's some homework there for somebody. Yeah, so it was a great interview, though, overall. I'm looking forward. There's going to be something else, right? There's going to be, like, a written interview?
Yeah, the interview will be transcribed, and it's going to go up onto the Stony Monday Riot blog, which is stonymondayriot.com, and then click on the blog. And also part of it is going to go up on the 12 Soccer fan blog as well, so watch for that. It'll either be later this week or early next week, so.
Oh, you're really getting your... money's worth out of that one.
Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah. So do check that out, guys. And we did have some listener questions this week. Actually, basically, we have one listener question from Andrew Vicker, who says, if OFFC could sign one player from any other team in NASL, who would you want?
You want me to start? I did my homework on this one.
Sure.
Okay, I was on, say, Shipolani, because I was on a big Shipolani kick there, not just because of this last game. But I've been watching him all season. But I have to go with Ramirez from Minnesota. Christian Ramirez, did I take yours?
Yeah, because he scores beautiful goals.
Oh, he scores beautiful goals. And I don't understand why he's still like in Division 2. Like, someone needs to pick this guy up in MLS. But
please don't.
But
want to see him.
But if you want to transfer to Ottawa, we'll all chip in. We'll help pay the...
You can sleep on my couch.
Yeah.
We have a thriving Latin community here.
Yeah, there's John.
And Matt.
And Matt. both very Latin. Yeah, but yeah, Ramirez. I'm sorry if I took someone's pick.
That would have been mine. Who would be yours, Blocksmith?
Yeah, it's hard to say not Ramirez because he's just on the Terriers, but I was looking at Lance Lang from Edmonton, mm-hmm. SC Edmonton. He's been on an absolute tear in the last few weeks, and I think he's he'd be great on the wing for us as a big, fast guy. He's really, who can score. And
like, we don't have to limit ourselves to one, right? Like, I was just thinking Eddie Edwards yeah, from FC Evan, bring the Ottawa boy home. Like, I would like to see him in our team. And also...
interesting story. They tried to bring him home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they offered him. Yeah.
But he declined it.
I don't know. I think he was locked up in Edmonton. I don't know all the details, but yeah, they did make an offer for him.
Yeah, if you do want to come, Eddie, we'll take
Once again,
it.
Tim.
You're welcome.
Yeah, please come.
And then probably another FC Edmonton player, Hansen Bouk, I would like to see. But he hasn't been playing much, eh?
No, he hasn't. Does anyone know, if any of our listeners out in Edmonton or Saskatoon knows what's going on with Bouk, please let us know. We'd like to see him play more, just not against us. So,
it's really odd because he literally tore Montreal apart in that Voyagers Cup tie. It's kind of disappointing not seeing him get the playing time. But I think Colin Clark was saying that...
Colin Miller, whatever. Yeah.
I think he was saying that he's trying to limit his playing time. With, you know, Bokai's still 17. He's still really young. And
yeah.
He's got a lot to learn. But I understand that he's a special player.
Yeah, and FC Edmonton is winning. And they're playing well right now. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, they have to play him. To turn things around, it's like they're doing great.
I'd like to see us poach some Canadians off other teams.
Any of the free agents that are in the national team, like, can they please join Ottawa?
Yeah, like, there's all these, the joke going around the online community is the unattached FC.
Yeah.
Right, all the Canadian players that are unattached, but they're on the national team, like, come home. Come play Division II, it's better than not playing at all, like.
Yeah, and Dos Santos did say that they have their radar on those guys, right? And if there's any way that he'd like to bring them here.
Yeah, I'd like to, like, hopefully, like, these attendance numbers stay up and keep growing like they have been, and hopefully they can open the wallet next year and get some of these guys, bring them home from Europe. Because, I don't know, would you rather play, like, third division in Finland or whatever, or fifth division Germany, right, like a lot of them do, or play second division in North America?
Yeah, it depends what you want in life. You know, some people really like the experience living in Europe or elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see him here for sure. Another question was, what are the top 5 venues in world football for fan experience and best supporter experience? This question actually also came from Andrew. We should remind him that we're an Ottawa Fury podcast.
It's kind of a broad question. I mean, it's like... supporter experience to how much you value your health and safety. It's generally the balance there.
Fair enough.
Like, I would love to go see an Old Firm game, but I've been told do not at all, at any cost, go to that game.
Have you been to games in England?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I went to Burnley, which is great. And I went to Reading.
Yeah.
And they're very different, because Burnley's very, you know, blue-collar.
So I went to Borussia Dortmund in Germany, and like, that's something anyone has to experience. I mean, it's their south wall, the yellow wall. That's the biggest standing section in the world. Their stadium is always at full capacity at 80,000 people.
That's the best attended sports league in the world, isn't it? The Bundesliga, they have the highest.
Well, the second, right after the NFL.
Yeah, but the NFL only play 8 home games. So
yeah. But yeah, the Bundesliga is a healthy league. I've been to the Camp Nou in Barcelona. That's a really beautiful stadium. It has a huge capacity, but like, atmosphere-wise, it's not out of this world. I mean, it's still pretty cool, like, from a North American perspective. But like, in Europe, it's not one of, like, it's not what people think. Like, it's not super crazy.
Yeah, I've only been to stadiums in North America, except for I went to a national team stadium in Iceland. And I saw them practice, and but I didn't experience any atmosphere at the practice. But North American stadiums I've been to that have been amazing. Portland and Seattle have been games there. And stadiums I haven't been to that are on my list is Kansas City. It's a beautiful stadium, and they do a really good job. I think, like, any team wanting like a map of how to do a stadium experience, should probably look at Kansas City. I've heard nothing but good things. And So that's, I only can give the North American side of that. Though.
I could go on and on about this question, but I will not bore the listeners with this. Kendra, do you have a stadium experience to add?
To be quite honest, I haven't been to a lot of stadiums at all. Probably Seattle would be the one that was probably the best atmosphere. But I would love to travel and go to... I want to see St. Pauli and Bundesliga too, just because they're so cool and hipster and, like, awesome. I would like to see their atmosphere. I think it's really an interesting thing that they're doing. And I think that's all.
What's the team that gets together on Christmas Day since Blood
Sports? That's Union Berlin.
And they get together on Christmas Day and they sing Christmas carols.
Yeah, that's
can we do that? Can, like, someone, let's phone up the Bytown boys.
It's going to be cold down in Ottawa.
Yeah, yeah. Christmas Day, we'll fill lands down.
Actually, I want to do that jumping into the cold water thing this year.
No.
The polar bear swim?
Yeah, you guys want to
do
it? I love cold water.
I'm allergic to cold. Any cold.
That's a thing.
Okay, Andrew probably wants us to say that Arsenal Stadium is probably the best in the world.
Yeah, if you want to, like, study, like, if you want to go to a library, you know what they use. Well, they're no longer in the Highbury Library, but the Emirates is probably not much better. No, but it's not that great. Everyone knows that. Come on, Blocksmith. People, like, Arsenal is not exactly known for, like, a fantastic
atmosphere. No, there, it's like the nice part of London. It's not Millwall.
It's not,
I would love to go see a Millwall game in, like, armor.
Yeah. Well, then
that would be the experience.
Didn't someone punch a horse at a Millwall game last season?
That was Newcastle Sunderland. Newcastle got punched, but
someone punched a horse.
But I mean, like, just to fully mention all the big games you got to go to in your lifetime, right? River Plate against Boca Juniors in Buenos Aires. That's a must. Probably Glasgow's Celtic against Rangers. One of the Istanbul derbies, Galatasaray against Fenerbahce.
For sure. Yeah.
It's all about derbies.
Oh, I also want to see Sendai play in the Japanese league because their fans are, like, super organized but also super vicious. And they're just, like, it's really crazy because they sing, like, in perfect unison. But then they're also, like, mad. So, like, it's...
I heard they don't play at home anymore because the whole disaster and everything, their stadium was ruined.
But
they've
been,
like,
rebuilding it.
Yeah, they play like an hour from home and they're still coming out, like, filling the stadium.
Yeah, they're just nuts. Anyway, I would love to see that.
Either way, at Ottawa Fury, we still have our work cut out for us. We still have a long way to go until we're going to be one of the big cathedrals.
Or we'll get there.
It's a growing process. I'm like Ryan was saying, Kansas City was...
It was a joke for years. Yeah. The Wiz, the Kansas City Wiz, they played in a baseball diamond that held 10,000, and they would not fill it. Mm-hmm. And now look at them. They're like the crown, well, not the crown jewel, but one of the top jewels of the MLS. So it's amazing to see. It's great. And I'd like to go, you know who we should, you know who Andrew should ask this question to is Teo. Because Teo's been in a lot of these stadiums. He's traveled around the world. And he's like you, John. He's been like... a lot of these big games, so he'd be a good person.
Yeah, we'll have Teo back on the pod soon. He's got a lot of valuable supporters knowledge to add, and he's a big Fury supporter, so shout out to Teo if he's listening.
Woo!
I guess what's left is the preview against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll come back after this music.
So the game yesterday that we played on Sunday, tied 2-2, which we discussed earlier in the pod, was the last home game for about 3 weeks. But this isn't the last game that some of us will be attending, because Kendra and Ryan are going to the Canadian national team game in Toronto.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few people from Ottawa going up. And, like I can name like 10 or 15 off the top of my head.
Which is great. I hope you guys represent Sony Money Riot and Bytown Boys well.
Yeah.
This will be my first national team game, actually. I've never seen them play live before, so I'm beyond excited. I'm also wearing my jersey right now.
Get ready for, like, more Jamaican fans than Canadian fans, eh?
Yeah. You gotta use your voice a lot.
I will come back with no voice.
Yes. So the game is in Toronto, and they have a small Jamaican population of 1 million. Yeah, so big game tomorrow. It's a friendly, right?
Yeah.
So you're probably listening. It's probably today. So the game's on the 9th.
Or it already occurred.
Or it already occurred.
Listen to this problem, because we're kind of live, but not really.
Yeah, I don't understand the
answer. Or if it happened like a year ago, thanks for Google searching us back this far.
What's interesting is our new fullback that we signed, right? That's official, right?
The Jamaican dude that we signed?
No.
Oh, that's not official? Oh, never mind. But a guy that we're looking at, the Fury's looking at, because I don't sign players, he will probably be starting for Jamaica tomorrow.
Do you know this for a fact? I thought he's not in the Jamaican national team at the moment.
Oh, really? He's been capped 15 times, and he's played all like the recent games.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be exciting to see. You guys could scout him and see if we made a good signing. Yeah. But from a Canadian national team perspective, this is a very important game because it's for the first time that all the good players have been brought together, right? Such as Atiba Hutchinson, who's playing at Besiktas, or, you know, who else is one of the... Dwayne De Rosario will be there.
Which is interesting because he played on Saturday, right? Almost a full game on Saturday, and now he's playing again on Tuesday.
Well, it's still the strongest lineup that we've probably seen the Canadian national team bring to a game since a very long time. I can't even remember when we had all of those European-based players and the North American players together.
Kyle Becker's playing?
Well, at least he's in the squad.
Well, he's in the squad, yeah. But in Ashton Morgan, Bernier's playing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's probably our best squad that we could field right now.
Exactly. A lot of these players are based in Germany, so I've been tracking them for a while. Like André Henault and Randy Vinibonzu and Marcel de Jong. So yeah, you guys are there to get a treat. It's pretty cool. Oh, Dejan Jakovic, who plays in Japan. That's exciting for Ryan.
Yeah, S-Pulse, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait till next week you guys will tell us about how this match went. Hopefully we can get a result. Even though it's just a friendly, it does matter because we need to get a ranking up in CONCACAF. So, you know, sing loud and proud, support the team. And I'm kind of jealous.
Of course.
Well... I don't know if I'm looking at a lineup, and I think it's the same lineup. Yeah. That's great. So, yeah, I'm really excited about this game. Another game to be really excited about is the Tampa Bay game in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yeah, Tampa Bay Rowdies, who we just played, which was our home game before the last one, and now we're playing them again in our next away game. Everything that we can say about Tampa Bay Rowdies has pretty much been said already.
Yeah, they got a good goalie.
Yeah,
score more goals than us generally.
They beat us pretty easily last time in Ottawa, but we tend to be better on the road. I mean, we've got their only win in the fall season on the road, so that doesn't mean much. Hopefully, the Fury can go there and grab that win for us.
Yeah, it'll be hopefully the Fury out looking for revenge. Tampa is really on a tear right now. This week they tied Minnesota 1-1. And that was, you know, Minnesota's a team not to scoff at. And I still think they're the best team in the league. I know they're not first in the fall season right now, but I still think they're the best in the league. And they tied them. And so Tampa's been playing really well. It won't be an easy game, but this course parity in this league and all that. And so any game's winnable, and I think we might get a result in Tampa if they played like they did yesterday.
Yeah, hopefully our defensive unit gets a little healthier. Davies will be back from suspension that game. Fletcher Roon's got another game under his belt, so hopefully he's a little better. Becky, I think, is still out. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of positives to take away from yesterday's game into this week's game.
So, two away games in a row coming up, and hopefully everyone will make an effort to watch the Fury on NASL Live. And if you don't have an account, get in touch with us. There's lots of viewing parties. Right, guys? So, watch the games.
Yeah, like the Bytown Boys. Like, find them on Twitter, @ByTownBoys, right?
It's, I think, BBSC.
Yeah, and Infinite's at Stony Monday Ride. So tweet those, either of those groups, and they'll be viewing parties. And also the team does one at the Heart and Crown, right?
Yeah, it's the Heart and Crown in the Byward Market. I believe it's on Murray Street. So you can always go there and take in the game.
Yeah, so either find one of the supporters groups or the Heart and Crown in the market. And, well, you know, taking an away game, it's a good thing. It's a fun time to check out and everything. And a couple of away games. And our game's on, what, the 29th, the home game against Minnesota United. So we're back at home on the 29th, and it'll be a good game to check out. We're not looking at the schedule at all. We're just, like, guessing. But
I think it's either 28th or 29th.
Yeah. So my tickets are in the other room. So. Yeah. But, yeah. And the crowds have been building, and there's, you know, there's no cottage country thing going on right now. So.
No, I'm looking forward to the rest of the fall season, and now it really is the fall season. It's no longer half summer.
It's actually fall.
So anyways, guys, if you enjoy this podcast, give us a follow. Our Twitter handle is at Ottawa Fury, where ours is the Fury, with Kendra, Blogsmith, Ryan, and myself. My name's John.
And it's time to say goodbye.
Okay.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Toodles.
We have another listener question. Can the Ottawa Fury make the playoffs?
Oh,